Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
Hey, welcome to Revitalize and Replant with none other than the one, the only, the legend, the basketball hero and star from Wyoming, right?
Hey, listen.
Mark Halleck.
That's right.
Did you play basketball in Wyoming?
I did.
The University of Wyoming?
No, I didn't play at the University of Wyoming, but I did grow up in Wyoming, and then I played at Sheridan College.
Sheridan College.
And then I realized, man, I think I'm done with basketball, and I didn't want to go be a youth pastor. So
what position did you play?
Well, in high school, see, here's what's great, because I'm 6'5", so I could play inside and outside.
Were you 6'5" in high school?
I was a shooter, yeah, but my senior year, same
height.
Okay. So I could shoot threes, but then I could post up, because it's Wyoming. Yeah. There's not a lot of
huge guys. This is so much fun,
because
I always wanted to be on, you know, like sports radio, so this feels like sports radio.
Hey, that's right, sports radio show. So anyway, I'm a has-been, baby. I'm a has-been.
Really?
But back in the day, it was fun. It was fun. So.
Yeah. I grew up, I got some compliments athletically. I know that's hard to believe, but I did. And the main compliment I got was good eye.
What was your favorite sport
good
as a
eye.
Kid?
Good eye. My favorite sport as a kid?
Yeah.
To play?
Yeah. To play and maybe both.
To play, kickball.
Kickball?
No.
That was a big sport back in the day.
I enjoyed, actually, hard to believe, I enjoyed basketball.
Basketball?
Have you what's the comedian Nate, what's his name?
Bargatze.
Bargatze. Yeah. You know, Nate says, you know, I'm a Tennessee basketball player, only I played church leagues. The only difference is we play on carpet. So I was a church league basketball player, and I remember my number was 6, and we had these white shirts that looked like the old white undershirts that men would wear,
yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah,
I'm not
going
to say what they're called.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was white.
Yeah.
It looked like that.
Yes.
And we had I had a number 6 sewn on, and my number 6 was halfway falling off, you know? And I sat on the bench until they needed to foul at the end of the game.
Clifton, get
in
there.
And my job was to go ahead and foul and stop the clock. And they go, good foul. Good foul. That was my job. That's what I did.
Did your dad like sports? Like,
no, he was not into sports.
Sport
he was not into sports,
yeah.
No. Okay, but my sons are. Man,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
they
yeah.
are totally
yeah.
into it. My boy ran cross country. He lettered in basketball and football.
Wow.
And
okay.
Yeah, my first boss, my second boss, I guess, one time he met my son. My son was a teenager at the time, and he said, that boy ain't your biological son, is he? I said, well, yes. As a matter of fact,
he is.
I don't look like you. Well, thank you very much. So today we're going to talk about something really, I don't know, dicey. Are you ready?
It shouldn't be.
So set it up, Mark. You tell them what happened yesterday. We're all here at the North American Mission Board, 14 of us on the Replant, Revitalization, and Rural Ministry team that I'm privileged to get to lead. And I asked Richard Blackaby to come. He lives here in Atlanta. And just share about an hour with our team and encourage us. So go for it from
yeah,
there.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Well, and it's been really cool because on this team, you know, you and Richard and Harry, I mean, you've been friends with these guys forever. And I think most of us on the team just know experiencing God and whatever. And so it's been cool because we know the impact that they've had on your life and Henry and then Richard as well. But so anyway, he came in to spend an hour with us. And to be honest, like I've never met him before. And
really, you'd never met him before?
I'd never met him.
Isn't that right? Because I get to travel with him.
But with the Revive
conferences. Yeah, 4 or 5 times a year. We've been doing that for years.
Yeah, our paths have never crossed.
I didn't realize that.
So I knew you knew him. Anyway, so I didn't, you know, I was excited just to, and honestly, man, I was blown away. Like the Lord, and I think anybody who was in that room would say the same way.
And
same
know,
thing.
We're not really, I don't want to, not really freedom to talk about it, but let's just say that after Richard shared an hour for us, it seemed like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He opened up about some real challenges he's been having in his life, even today, yesterday and today. And yet, in the midst of all of that, he drove up here.
I know.
And just unpacked God's word for us in a very powerful way.
It was very powerful. And so the text that he worked through was from John 15, and abiding in Christ. And apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. And talked about fruit and I mean, just incredible stuff. I mean, it was for me, and again, I'm not this is just the truth. It was exactly what I needed in my soul. And I think it's one of the reasons I'm here right now in Atlanta. But one of the statements that he made as we were talking about just the reality of pastor burnout and tired pastors and discouraged pastors, and which this is what we do, right, is want to encourage guys and even ourselves. And he made the statement as we were looking at, again, abiding, and he said, you know, in all my years of ministry and working, and dude, the guy, this guy's credible, man. Well, I mean, this guy has, yeah. I mean, that's the thing we got to understand. This dude's been in ministry.
This guy's dad, let's just back up. Here we go. Henry was pastoring a very successful church in Los Angeles, and it was growing very well and really transforming its community, and the congregation loved him. And then he heard about a church in Canada, because Henry was Canadian, born in Canada, that was going to close its doors. And someone reached out to him and said, Henry, we need Canadians to pastor these churches. And if you don't come, this church is going to close. And so Henry prayed, and God said, go to Saskatoon. And everybody told Henry, do not leave L.A. You cannot go to Saskatoon. There's a dozen people there. The church is broke. They've got a for sale sign in the yard. Mm. They can't pay to move you. They can't pay you a salary. You've got four, I guess, at that time. You can't go. What will it do to your kids? You go up there, nobody will hear about you again. It's ridiculous. Didn't matter. Henry loaded up his family. Richard said, I remember the time he talked to us, said, we're moving to Saskatoon. Where in the world is that, you know? We pulled up this little church, Faith Baptist Church. Out front, sign said Faith Baptist Church, and next to it was a sign that said for sale.
Hmm.
And he said, the first thing my dad says is, we got to remove one of those two signs, you know?
Wow, yeah.
And his little church, the basement flooded. The snow would melt and the basement would flood. First few months, nobody paid much attention to Henry, and he did pay his own way up there. It's a tremendous struggle. And then his dad would drive hundreds of miles a week pastoring churches all across that part of Canada. And so Richard grew up with that. And then he became a pastor, and he took a dying church and brought it to revitalization. Mm. And then he became the president, one of the youngest presidents ever of a seminary. He became the president of the Canadian Baptist Theological Seminary.
That's right. That's right.
And then after those years, he came back to the States and he began to lead his father's ministry, which now he directs, Blackaby Ministries International, and a prolific writer of books and mm-hmm. everything else. So he's got the chops.
Yeah, he's got
the
chops.
He grew up in it. He experienced it. He's been a pastor. He's been a seminary professor, seminary president. He's got the chops. So with all of that said, take it from there.
Yeah. Well, and so you're sitting with this guy, and you know, just for our listeners, like I'm just being honest. I mean, this is a man who walks with Jesus. And quickly I'm going, dude, this guy is a real, his humility, his knowledge. I mean, I was just trying to soak it all in. And he made the statement that is so true. He said, you know, in my years of ministry and working with pastors, I've never met a pastor who has experienced true burnout while deeply abiding in Jesus.
And so I took his picture. And then I put a little statement above it, and I just said, I took his picture while he was speaking, and then later that day, I put that picture on Facebook and Twitter with the statement above that, what you just said, in all of my years of ministry, I've never encountered a pastor who was deeply abiding with Christ to experience burnout. I didn't think much of it.
Well, because when we were there, I mean, it was all amens.
There was 14 of us in that room, and at that moment, it was like the Holy Spirit breathed on us mm-hmm. all at once, mm-hmm. and we all just went, whoa.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoa. I can't explain it other than, you know, and we were sitting around a table.
Yeah.
You know, he was right in the middle of the
room.
Very
informal. Yeah,
very just, informal. Yeah, yep. Extremely informal. And it's like, whoa. All of us were like, okay, man, that's life-changing right there. So I posted it. Well, the others weren't in their room, right? So they didn't hear the context. Right. They didn't know what we were— Wow. I mean, I woke up this morning and like, I'm not used to getting, I mean, I don't post controversial things on the interstates. You know, I just don't do that on the interwebs. I'm pretty uncontroversial, but man, I had some people lay into me.
And what were some of the concerns? What were folks?
You mean just have more faith and you won't burn out. You mean, you know, it's all on me. It's my fault. Or, you know, that's why. And then one was, has Richard ever pastored a church? And that's why I won't have any Richard Blackaby books in my library. And, you know, just very defensive that I don't understand the pain that pastors are going through. okay, we have to spend some time here today. You ready? Just, guys, just listen to me and don't be angry. Did Jesus say, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest? Or did he not? Did he say, come unto me, all ye labor and are heavy laden, and I might give you rest. I could give you rest. You might find rest. I will give you rest. Period. End of story. How do you, when you're deeply abiding with Christ, how do you experience burnout? By burnout, I think what we got to explain is burnout.
Let's define burnout. I think that's where some confusion is.
We're not talking about being tired. Yeah. Jesus was a man of sorrows acquainted with grief. We're not talking about being tired.
Being discouraged.
We're not talking even about discouragement. Yeah. We're not talking about that. There are times of discouragement. You know, the Apostle Paul was beaten five times with 39 lashes. Mm. I don't think anybody who Facebook messaged me has been beaten once with 39 lashes. Mm. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. So all of the apostles, except for John, were martyred for their faith, and John died in exile on the island of Patmos. We're not talking about not suffering. In fact, Paul said, brothers, I want you to know Jesus in the power of his resurrection and what? The fellowship of his suffering. I'm not talking about avoiding suffering. In fact, you walk with Jesus, you're going to suffer.
You're going to suffer. That's right.
Just look at those apostles. Yep. Remember when Paul was preaching and they stoned him? Because I don't know what that, I mean, I can't imagine what that felt like. I can't imagine being put on, sitting there on the ground and people picking up huge rocks and throwing them as hard as they can at your head. I mean, he was unconscious. You know his chin was broken. You know his nose was broken. His eyes were had to be swollen shut, and his lips had to be completely split open. And they threw him out of town. And probably, let's be honest, if his clothes were worth anything, they took them off of him because clothes were worth something. So he either just had a loincloth or nothing. And they threw him out of town with the dead bodies. What's he do? He gets up. He doesn't even take a day off. He doesn't even take a day off. He comes right back into town and keeps preaching. And what's and people follow, like people are going, hey, that guy who can't even tell what he looks like because he's been so, I want to be like him. And they did. I'm not saying you're not going to get suffering. I'm not saying you're not going to be beat upon. I'm not saying you're not. But Paul, he didn't burn out. He kept going. I what do we mean by burnout? We don't mean being tired. We don't mean being oppressed.
Yep. Or discouraged.
Discouraged. You know, someone brought up Spurgeon, you know. Oh, you know, Spurgeon was depressed. Yeah, but Spurgeon battled it by how? By going to Christ. By, that's how he got out of it. He didn't blame Jesus for it. But burnout is when you're what, Mark?
I was going to say, like, I think when we think about burnout, and all those things can contribute to burnout.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt. And they're all marks of burnout.
That's right.
There's no doubt about it. But, you know, burnout is another level, man. Burnout is that level of I'm done. I'm done. My soul is dry. I have no more joy in the Lord. Versus when you're abiding in Jesus, you can say with James, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, right? Burnout. There's no joy in trials. There's no hope in trials. There's no anything in trials. So it is the point, and it leads to a place of either moral failure.
That's right.
Or even a
deconstruction of your
Deconstruction of your faith. Yep. Where God is now not my ally but my enemy. It leads to a very dark place. And our concern with that, and so was Richard's, is we do not want to see any pastor experience burnout.
And here's what happens. When pastors get to the point of burnout, where they no longer love people, they no longer love the ministry, they no longer want to preach. I'm tired, I'm worn out, my body aches. Man, people are riling on me. I'm so disappointed in people. You know, I'm grieving for the lost. I'm weeping over my church.
Even those who have been abused and hurt, there were some responses like that. We're not talking about that.
Right. But those who say, man, I don't want to preach. I don't want to read scripture. I don't want to do ministry anymore. Oftentimes, unfortunately, our response to burnout has been not to fully understand what the guy's going through.
Yeah.
we should ask him, what do you mean by burnout?
Mm.
You mean you're just at a point where you're tired and you need some encouragement?
Yeah.
Or are you ready to walk away? You've lost your... And oftentimes when we talk about burnout, we say, well, you just need to take some time off. You need to take some rest. Mm. Take care of yourself. That's not going to do it.
Yeah.
That's not abiding with Christ.
Yeah.
You're not going to find relief from your burnout by spending a week on the lake.
Yeah.
You're not going to find a week from your burnout by playing golf for a couple of weeks.
Binging some Netflix
shows.
Do you
ever see Paul? Yeah. I remember my dad used to say this all the time because my dad didn't. He didn't play golf or anything. My dad would, you know, he'd say, you know, I just can't imagine the Apostle Paul saying, hey, it's great to be here in Corinth with you guys today, and I enjoy preaching, but man, I'd like to take a couple days and go hit the links out here. Would that be possible? Dad said, I don't see Paul. I don't know whether he would or not. Maybe he would. But I kind of grew up with that. But the point is, your rest is not found in cessation of activity.
Yes.
Your rest is not found in recreational activity. Your rest is found in one place and one place alone, and that is Jesus.
Mm.
And so what Richard is saying is, if you deeply, and let's talk about deeply here, mm-hmm. deeply abide with Christ, you will never be discouraged in ministry because Christ is your encouragement.
Yeah, to the point of burnout.
Yeah, to the point of burnout. You'll never be weak in ministry to the point of burnout because Christ is your strength. And Paul would say, in my weakness, he is made strong.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. That's
right. And even when Paul had the thorn in his flesh, he turned that around and said, well, this is for a reason. This pain must mean something to edify me.
Yep.
Nothing is wasted in God's economy.
Right.
And so it's so important. And the reason we all had this sort of common experience at the moment when he said that was we thought, yes.
Yes.
We've looked everywhere else for the relief from burnout, and it's actually as simple. And it is simple.
Yeah.
It's not easy to do because the adversary puts obstacles in our way, but just to abide in Christ.
Okay, here's another word we need to define then. So understanding the word burnout, but under the word deeply.
Yeah, so deeply. By burnout
deeply
again.
Deeply abiding.
Yeah, by burnout again, we mean ready to walk away, no longer desire to preach, throwing in the towel. That's what we mean by burnout, guys, not just tired and depressed for a while. Okay, so that's burnout. What's deeply abiding?
Deeply,
mean?
What is deeply abiding? I mean, what would Richard say? What would Richard say? I'm trying to think. Like yesterday, I mean, obviously we're working through this incredible passage in John 15, but Lord,
it's,
I need
it's,
you.
This it's
is
spending
a
time
desperate,
and it's something I'm not good at. It's spending time daily with the Lord, so you are walking with Him.
Yeah,
I love what Richard said earlier. Your time with the Lord is not your quiet time. Your time with the Lord is all day long.
Yeah, it's all the time.
It's all the time. It's not just my 30 minutes in the morning and now I'm off to my day. I am with Him all day long. I abide with Him all day long.
Yes.
And how do you abide? Well, I think a lot of it is, what are you thinking about all day? What are you meditating all day?
Yep.
Let me ask you this. This is such a good question. It may be a Puritan question. It may be a Blackaby question. I can't remember which it is. What do you think about when you're not thinking about anything?
Mm. That's a good question.
And I find myself often thinking about watches because I like to collect watches. I think about travel because I like to travel.
Mm-hmm.
I think about history because I like to read history. Are any of those things wrong? No. But when I've got nothing to think about, why doesn't my mind run to Jesus?
Jesus, yeah.
What do you think about when you've got nothing to think about?
Wow.
You know, that's what it means to abide in Christ.
Yeah.
Not to compartmentalize Him, and He's here and He's there. And we live in such a secularized world. The music we listen to, the media we look at, the TikToks we look at, everything is these messages just constantly coming upon us that really just distract us from abiding with Christ, that move us away from that. I mean, the Puritans, let's be honest, they lived in a world where there wasn't any media or social media or culture, and it was a little probably simpler for them. They had very little reading material anyway,
right. Just
focus on the scripture and those kind of things. Here we're just bombarded with images and sounds and sights and all around us, you know? And look, you've heard me say this before, but I love comedy. I love sitcoms. I can quote every Seinfeld episode. I can quote nearly Office episode.
Yep.
You know? But there are times, even when I'm quoting those, I'm thinking, almost every episode of Seinfeld, somebody was sleeping with somebody and they weren't married.
Mm-hmm.
Almost every episode of The Office, there was something going on that was completely unrepentant and ungodly.
Yeah.
And yet we find that humorous. I'm not here to try to become, you know, a holiness guy or a fundamentalist guy, but It's amazing how the world creeps in on us.
It's true, man. It's so true.
That makes it hard for us to abide deeply with Christ.
That's exactly right.
And so he was just saying you have to work at abiding deeply with Christ, but the payoff for working at abiding deeply with Christ is you're always rewarded for it. You're never at the point of extreme burnout where you're ready to walk away from ministry. Mm. You may be under the most difficult of circumstances, but you still find your joy in him. You may get beat up like Paul, but you don't even take a day off. You can't wait to get back in there and start preaching again. Yeah. That's what it means to abide with Christ.
Let me read John 15. I am the true vine, Jesus says, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me.
There you go.
I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing.
And out of that, Richard said, I've never known anyone to abide deeply with Christ and experience burnout. That's the key, guys. It's not easy, but it is so worth it. Hope this has been helpful to you. Check us out at churchreplanters.com. There is one book we'll put on the show notes. It's called Living Out of the Overflow by Richard Blackaby. If you've found this helpful or even challenging, or even if you disagree with it, check out that book, Living Out of the Overflow by Richard Blackaby. Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor, or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.